Morning.
Morning.
We've been walking through some stuff together as a church, especially starting last weekend. We began to talk about these banners that you've been seeing up here and the projects and some of the things that we're looking at on embarking together on as a church and some of those things. And we want to take a few weeks out just to talk about these things, talk about what's the purpose in these things. Why do we have these things up here? What is this about? Building One is the name of kind of the program, the campaign that we're going to be going through for the next little while as a church. And it kind of comes out of this passage of Scripture from Ephesians 4. If you notice on each one of these banners, it says Ephesians 4, and it has some verses behind it and different passages on them. Those two share the passage. But what happened is, you know, just to kind of backtrack a little bit and kind of catch you up to speed if you're just tuning in, is last year we just kind of came to a point where we realized that we as a church have some things that we needed to overcome for us to continue to grow and for us to continue to reach people and to continue to do good ministry and all those things. And we just realized, you know, there's been things along the way that we have, when we've come against them or they've come against us, we've just said, well, you know what? There's nothing we can do about it. Let's just move on. Just don't worry about it. We'll just, you know, nothing we can do about it. We'll walk away kind of a thing. And we realized last year as we began to talk about some of these things that God's not called us to stop the calling that he has put on this church. He's not called us to stop growing. He's not called us to stop reaching the lost. He's not called us to stop making disciples in these things. And as we begin talking about these things, we begin talking about some of the things that were kind of in our way of working toward and doing some of these things. And already, some of these things that we've come against that been these overbearing deals that we've been concerned about or worried about even at times, have come to the top. And even this year, we've seen God do some amazing things this year already in the life of this church. By the way, one of the things that I'm super excited about, and I don't know if you realize this or not, but we've been seeing people come to know the Lord. There was like 3 weeks in a row where we saw people come to know the Lord here, just talking about like this past month and the beginning of this month. And so, I mean, God's doing some really cool stuff. And in the midst of all this, one of the big things that we've seen that you know we're going to have to overcome, we've got to try to figure out, was just on the ministry end, the day to day running of the church end of things, that we needed workspace, that we needed a place for offices and that kind of stuff. And so we begin talking about that. We talked about a dozen different ways to do that, and renting something outside of here, and trying to build something backstage, and in the end, and talking with an architect friend of ours who's a part of our church now. And he brought up, you know, for what we build this stuff back here, we just go out here and add on to the building. And so we begin to talk about that and pray about that. And next week, we're going to be sharing even more about that. Going to be getting to share for the first time pictures, the drawings of things, of what that stuff looks like. But this all came about because of us feeling like we needed to be more productive in ministry. And just be honest with you, it's a little bit of a challenge to work from a couch in the foyer of your church building. It just isn't the easiest thing. It's not abnormal for me to be counseling somebody and they might be in tears on one end of the couch, and then comes in walking somebody in the foyer and they're like, "Hey, what's going on?" You know, and then they come down there and they're like, "Yeah, what's going on, man? How you doing? Oh, y'all are talking or something. All right, you know, that's not awkward, right?" So, but in general, just a place to call home and to work and to be able to meet with people and counsel and study and pray and all those things. God has granted us and blessed us with an amazing staff. Just this year, we've hired Debbie Sheeran as our ministry assistant, and David Rawls, our children's minister. Those are huge pieces of the puzzle in which God is continuing to show that he is wanting to do something here and he's wanting to work. And so in the midst of all this, we begin to talk about what's it look like for us to do this. And so as we prayed about God leading us to guide us through this thing, one of the things that came up was this passage from Ephesians 4, in which we're going through, we started going through it last week, we're going to continue to go through it this week and over the next few weeks. And I hope that you see what we saw when we found this passage of Scripture was we, as we read this, I think Joey brought this to us, but when we began to read this passage, we saw the pieces of what we knew God wanted us to do. That's the plain and simple of it. And so we've adopted this passage of Scripture for us to walk through together and for it to lead us instead of us, you know, coming up with our own plan and that kind of thing. And so last week we talked about unite. We talked about unity. We talked about the importance of unity within the church. And I read this passage. In fact, if you've got a Bible, go ahead and get it out. If you don't have a Bible, we got ushers and they'll bring you one. Just throw your hand up. If you don't own one, we want to give you that one, by the way. Just go ahead and take it. But if you need to borrow one, that's fine too. But Ephesians chapter 4, and if you go back to what we studied on last week out of Ephesians 4, there was a couple of verses that like really stuck out to reminding us of the importance of us being united together as the body of Christ, the church. And when I say the church, I hope that you know that I'm not talking about a building. I'm talking about the body of believers. I'm talking about us, the people. We are the church, okay? And so when, you know, the building stuff, I mean, it's like a necessary deal. You know, I wish we could go without buildings. 24 Church is not the church to like just want to build buildings. We don't want to just build buildings for the sake of building buildings. We would rather start new churches, send people out to start churches like this in other areas that might be able to continue to reach people like God has used this church to be able to do. But in Unite last week, when we were talking about this, in Ephesians 4, if you look in verse 1, it says this, it says, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Now, the thing that really, I think, struck some people last week, and I've had a couple of you talk to me, is that, you know, there is this understanding that a lot of folks don't realize that we are all called to something. We're all called. If you love Jesus, if Jesus is your Savior, if you have trusted in Him for forgiveness, I'm going to tell you something. You are a called minister of the gospel. That may scare you a little bit, and it might should scare you a little bit, but it shouldn't at the same time, because if we trust in the Lord, He's going to lead us to fulfill whatever that calling is in our life. So as we begin to talk about this last week, we have this understanding that we know that we're called, but it goes on in this passage. It says that he's urging us to walk in a manner worthy of the calling in which we've been called. Well, that means there is a way to go about fulfilling our call. There is a walking in a manner worthy of that call. Well, I want to know what that is. What's that look like? Because, I mean, you know, for me, I don't know about you. Sometimes I just feel like I'm kind of shooting in the dark and trying to get it right. And at the end of the day, I'm not sure that I'm doing it right a lot of times. Well, he goes on in verse 2 and he talks about how to do that. That with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, I'm not going to re-preach the whole thing for you today. You can go back and listen to the podcast. In fact, I'm going to encourage you, if this is your church home, if you miss one of the weeks of us getting to talk through this, I'm going to highly encourage that you go back and you catch the podcast of any weeks that you might have to miss. I think just important for you to know what's going on in life of your church. Last week, if you missed it, go back and catch it. Go to the website if you don't know how to use iTunes, well, just go to the website and catch it there. You can catch it there. You can listen to it on your phone, on your computer while you're working, whatever. But in this passage, we see these pieces that we're supposed to walk in this manner worthy of our calling, and we do so with things like humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another in love. This is a big deal. This is not just like something that you just do like for a little while. This is a calling to how we live our life in humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another in love. Why in the world would we bear with one another in love? You know what that even means? What does it mean for us to bear with one another in love? it means that we put up with each other and our junk, right? It means you're going to put up with me even though I'm an idiot, right? Because of the love that you know in Christ Jesus, right? And same goes for me. I'm going to put up with you because, you know, let's just face it, you're not perfect, all right? So, you know, but that's okay. God has given us the ability to bear with one another even through the hard stuff. And in doing so, the world sees Jesus in us. Because the world, what's the world do? When something goes awry in the world, we're like, what? You know what? I'm done with you. We're going to part ways now. We'll catch you later. But that's not what that's about, is it? So there is this importance that God has, from the beginning of time, has intended for us as His body, as His church, as His bride, that we would bear with one another. And it says in verse 3, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Unity between us is so important. That's why it's important. We see all kinds of scripture talk about things like, you know, if you've got something against a brother, then to go to him and to make those things right and to talk those things out. And, you know, and it doesn't, listen, it doesn't mean that we'll always agree 100% on every single thing. But we can disagree about other things and agree that Jesus is Lord and still carry on for the cause and for the sake of the kingdom of God. That's a calling that's worth dying for. That's a calling that's worth living for. That's a calling that's worth seeking humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another, putting up with each other in love, right? Well, this idea of this whole thing, you know, as we've seen and as God's been leading us, as we've been looking at this passage of Scripture, and I talked about this a lot last week, is that we would be a part of this process, that God would do this in us, not so that we would build buildings, but that God would build His church. Now, I hope that you understand what that means. And if you remember the passage last week, and it talked about all these ones. Do you remember that? You remember all the ones from last week? I'll tell you just a couple of them. You know, one Lord, one Spirit, one hope, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. You know, one baptism, all these ones. And it's talking about building up the church. When I say building up church, again, not talking about a building, talking about us, talking about the body of believers. God wants to do a work in us. We are not, here you go, and this is going to, I know some of you hate it, but I'm going to put it on you, so just get ready for it, all right? We are not supposed to do this alone. We're not supposed to do this alone. God created us that we need community with one another, that we would bear with one another, that the world would see God's love in us. It's an amazing thing. And so the building one, you know, deal, building one is not talking about building one building. It's talking about building His church, okay? The body. But when I look at this and I see this, I see God calling us to unite us, that He might equip us, that He might build us, that we might go in love. You see that? And that's what we see throughout this passage of Scripture. Well, we're going to look at this passage from Ephesians today, Ephesians 4, verse 11. And it's just two verses. And I want you to read this with me, Ephesians 4, verse 11. And it says this. It says, "And He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ." This passage is a passage that reminds us that God uses different people in different ways as a part of the body. Now, last week, one of the things that we talked about was we used that passage, shared from that passage from Corinthians, where Paul talks about all the different members of the body. You remember that? You know, you've got like some people are the eye, and some people are an ear, and some people are, you know, a foot, and some people are like the hairy armpit, you know, kind of deal that smells so good, you know. I know some of you that are armpits, actually. No, I'm just kidding. But you know, it's this idea that, you know, I had a friend here, Frank, was here earlier in first service. Mr. Frank and I, me and that dude have just gotten so close. I love that guy. And he had surgery a couple weeks ago. Supposed to just have, you know, surgery and then, you know, go home in a few days. He had the same surgery on another hip, you know, a couple of months ago and has recovered good from that. And, well, there are complications, and it's not been that simple. And you know, he's been stuck in a hospital basically for like 2 weeks. I had to take him hot chicken, you know, okay? This is important. And so, you know, but yeah, no, we, you know, and such a great guy. Well, you know, all because of this one thing, this one part of his body not working right. I mean, his life has been just thrown into disarray. He's here today in a wheelchair. But even he would tell you, you know, that when one part of the body isn't functioning properly, the whole body suffers. And I'm afraid that for so many Christians today, that they've bought into this like consumer Christian, you know, deal of like we go to a thing on a Sunday morning and then just, you know, try to do good the rest of the week kind of thing, and not really getting to be a part of the body. And I hate that. And I hate it for those that, you know, haven't found what it is that God wants to use them in doing, but also I hate it for the church. I hate it for the body. Because the body suffers. Body suffers when, you know, if you're an eye, you know, and you're supposed to be an eye for the body, you know, and we don't have you, well, guess what? The body's walking around like this, you know, like what in the world's going on? I see this over here. I'm not so much seeing that over there, you know. God has given us a calling. Do you know what the calling is? The calling is to glorify Him in all we do. It's very simple. We complicate it a whole lot, right? With like all these life decisions that we come up with, you know. I mean, man, do we hang our hat on some stuff sometimes and be like, oh, I just want to know what God wants me to do, you know. I mean, we do that, right? I mean, like so, you know, and like as if like God couldn't like do, you know, whatever, you know. And at the end of the day, we make it more about those decisions and which way we're supposed to turn on the path than we do about what's going to glorify Jesus. What's going to be the best for the kingdom? How can God best use me in my calling? It says again in verse 11, He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. God is in the business of equipping His people. Did you know that? He's in the business of preparing us. But here's the deal. I know so many people that have gone to church. They've just gone to church for years and years, and they just keep getting equipped and equipped and equipped and prepared and prepared. And then nothing. We have got to see that God doesn't equip and prepare us for us to just sit. He's called us to much more than that. He's called us to be actively seeking His kingdom and His will. And that's hard sometimes, and it gets in the way of our plans sometimes, but it's okay, because God wants to challenge us in that. And what He wants to do is He wants to bring us together, that He might equip us together, that He might take us and build us up for the purpose of doing the thing that He has done for us, which is to love one another, to love others, to love a community. I said this last week. What's it look like if a church rallies around those principles and follows the Lord and trusts in Him, that if He wants to do that in us, how could God use a church like that to love a community? to love this city, to love these surrounding cities, to love the people in our neighborhood? What would it look like if we did that together? Because let's face it, doing it by ourselves, that's for the birds. I mean, we try to do the lone wolf thing, and you know, we'll go off and it usually kind of goes with a pity party or something like that. We've all done this. We're all guilty of it, so I'm not calling anybody out here or anything. But, you know, we all have those situations in life where we find ourselves just going, well, I don't need anybody. I'll just seek God on my own. I don't have to have those people. They get on my nerves. They like to sing those songs and listen to that stupid guy, you know, talk. And, you know, and then people want to, like, think that they can, like, speak into my life or something, you know. Let me tell you, one of the greatest things that happens in my week is gathering together with people at my house on Sunday nights for our micro church. And when we do that, I see people from all walks of life hanging out together. Single people, married people, people with kids, people that want kids, people that can't have kids, people that their kids are grown, empty nesters, whatever it is. And you know what I've learned through that? And this is the reason why you don't see 24 having a whole lot of like ministries of like, here's our singles ministry and here's our women's ministry or whatever. And not that there's anything, not that God can't use that stuff. But we firmly believe that God wants to use different people to speak into one another's lives. Single people need married people to speak into their lives, don't they, married people? Married people, there sometimes are things that we could learn from some single people that we've forgotten, okay? We need that. We need people that aren't walking in the same shoes that we walk in, that don't look just like us and don't think just like us, to speak the gospel into our lives. That's the importance of that. That's the reason why we don't need to do this alone. We need that encouragement. We need that accountability. We need those people to love one another. When I look back over 10 and a half years of 24 Church, here's what I see. I see God all along the way has been doing this right here. Let me ask you a question. Why would God in 10 and a half years continually equip us in so many different ways? Why would he do that? Why would he do that? For his glory. One of the things that I've seen God do is I've seen God equip us through serving one another, just like the passage talked about earlier, serving one another. I've seen him equip us through serving together. I've seen him equip us through giving of ourselves together. And even giving together. I've seen him equip us through learning together, through praying together, through worshiping together. And the thing that above all that stands out that I'm probably, if I can be proud of it in some kind of godly, prideful way, the thing that really stands out that just really gets me juiced is when I look around the room and I see faces of people, and I don't just see faces, but I see stories. And I see God's redemption happening through transforming lives because of the gospel. That's equipping. You know what I don't want to stop? I don't want that to stop. I want to continue to see God bring people to him, save them, change their lives, and use them, build them up, that they might turn around and love others for the kingdom of God. That's what this is about. I want to read this passage to you in 1 Peter 4. 1 Peter 4, verse 7 says this. It says, "The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins." I love that verse, and I'm probably going to spend till the day I die trying to figure out exactly what God means with that verse, like in its fullest. And I think it'll be one of those questions I have when I get to see him, like, can you tell me what all does that mean? Because I want to know the whole thing. Verse 9, "Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. And in verse 10, here you go. This is us, okay? This is us. This is applicable to everybody who knows Jesus as their Savior. Verse 10, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Did you know that God has given you a gift? Gifts, maybe many, maybe multiple. Did you know that He's called us to use that to serve one another? See, there's the red one right there. There's the love. When we find those things that God has gifted us with and we're able to turn around and use those things to serve one another, we get to show God's love. Something supernatural happens. We don't want to do that a lot of times because we're selfish. We're selfish with our time. We're selfish with what we want. You know, all these things. It's a hassle. It's, you know, whatever. You know, all these things. And at the end of the day, you know what? God has called us to this. This is a part of our calling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's very grace. Whoever speaks, it says, as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. Now let me stop there. I want you to read that again. You see it? As one who serves by the strength that God supplies. So we'll call time out on this and hold it right there, because we all know that there come moments where we get tired of serving. We all have those moments in ministry. I've had those moments in ministry. I've had those moments in ministry where I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to go work at the dog pound or something, you know? I'm just going to just go do something else, anything, you know, whatever. You know, we have those days. Everybody has those days. We get tired. We're like, I can't do it anymore. Listen, we couldn't do it to begin with. We need Jesus all along the way to help us to do the things that we've been called to do, and specifically in understanding that as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. It's His strength. In His weakness, in my weakness, He is strong. You know? We see that throughout Scripture. And it goes on here, it says, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. I'll read that again. In order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. God wants to be glorified in every aspect of our lives. And He can be. And He goes on and says, to Him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So, we know that God wants to continue to equip us. All right? We know that God wants to continue to prepare us. And He's doing that now. He's doing that through His Word. He's doing that through us spending time together and us speaking the gospel into one another's lives, like I was talking about earlier, you know? Or we have those people that we've invited into our lives and said, hey, I want you to share into my life. I want to share in yours, you know? And then He wants to continue to do that. But the truth is He's been doing that for a long time. Let me ask you a question. How much equipping has to happen in our lives for us to be faithful to what God has called us to from the get-go? We just keep putting it off, you know? I'm going to get around to that. I'm going to serve as a part of the church. I'm going to be a part of that. I'm going to talk to my neighbor about that thing God's been laying on my heart to talk to them about. But I'll do it. I'll do it next week. I'll do it next month. Well, you know, we're going to have some people over the house, but I need to do some stuff to the house first. Yeah. God wants to use us now. God doesn't want to wait to build a building. He doesn't care. All right? God doesn't care about our buildings. And I'm glad. I'm glad He doesn't care about our buildings, to be honest with you, because I kind of don't care about them a lot of times. I know that I'm supposed to be a good steward of it and care for it in that aspect. But at the end of the day, God wants to use us for His glory using the gifts that he's given us, equipped us to be, that we might be functioning eyes and hands and feet of the body of Christ. And he can. He can do that. He wants to do that. But we got to be faithful right now. We've got to start being faithful with what he's equipped us to do right now. So whatever that looks like, I don't have any idea what that looks like for you. But that's something for you to seek the Lord about. And you may already know. You may have like these certain things in your life where you're like, man, I know. You know, maybe some of you are like on retirement from ministry right now. Come out of retirement, Cal Ripken Jr. Come on, you know. And you're like, well, I played more games than anybody in the history of baseball. Well, great, good. You know, can you still swing a bat? Right? God has called us to be a part of the most amazing thing ever. His body, his bride, you know? As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Here's the problem, folks. We've made it about us. We've made it about us. We didn't mean to. We didn't mean to make it about us, but that's what's happened. We've made it about us. It's about what we need and what we want, and even ministry, even the church is about us. Like, I'm going to church so that I can get something out of it. By the way, that's not worship, okay? Worship is when we're giving to God. We sing, we're not singing, you're not singing for us, you're not singing for me. We're singing to God. We pray. We're not praying for, you know, to other people. We're praying to God. And so what's happened along the way is that our lives in general have become about us. We've made everything about us. And so in situations like the community aspect where we say, well, I'm not going to be a part of that because I don't think I need that. The truth is number one, you do need it. But there's also other people that need you to be a part of it. Let me ask you a question. Have you been through anything in this life so far? In the last however many years you've been sucking wind on earth, you know, have you been through anything that you think God might could use in the life of somebody else? As I look around, I see the stories of people that have been through some of the hardest things that I can't even imagine, things that when I have talked with them and counseled with them, all I can say is, I'm sorry, I don't even have a clue what it's like to go through what you're going through. You've been through some of that kind of stuff? Let me ask you a question. Do you not think that God wants to use that in the life of somebody else? But here's where Satan wins. Satan wins when we decide to stay home and hide from the rest of the world, when God can't use those stories from our life and our suffering in the lives of others because we're too busy, because I'm not going to get anything out of it. When did it become about us? It's not about us. It's about him. But we traded somewhere, didn't we? We traded for like what we think we need, and it's all about what we need and what... No. How can God use us for his kingdom? Let me ask you a question. Do you want the suffering that you've been through be in vain? Would you want the suffering that you've been through to be wasted on absolutely nothing? Or would you like to see God take it and redeem that horrible, awful thing that you had to go through? Would you like to see God redeem that and use it for his glory, that you might minister to somebody else that's going through something else, maybe similar, maybe nothing like it, but maybe you're able just to at least look at them and say, you're going through something painful, guess what? I've been through something painful too. And it's awful. But you know what? God's brought me through to the other side. And there's hope. And that hope is in Jesus. It's in the cross. It's in the blood of Christ. Trust in him. God doesn't equip for us to do nothing. That's silly. Think about the days that you went to school. And think about some of the classes that you sat in and you thought, why in the world am I sitting in this class right now? I will go with algebra right now, okay, on that one. Are there any algebra teachers here right now, just out of curiosity? Good. I'm still not sure why I had to go through three years of algebra. I have no idea. And it almost kept me from graduating high school. Like, no kidding. Like, I took one of them twice in college. And I'm still not sure why I took those classes. Because I want to, like, exchange letters for numbers and some junk like that and integers. And I don't even know. Like, what is the point? I've got a calculator and it's got a decimal point on it. Doesn't that work for everything? But then there's a word problem, and it's about a train going 1,000,000 miles an hour, and it's heading to Cincinnati, and how quick will it get to Seattle if it goes backwards? I don't know. Why? Who cares? We're not in that class. I don't want to be in that class. I don't want to be equipped for nothing. I want God to use me. Do you want God to use you? I want to see God use this church. I want to see God use this church to do the red one. Because just like I've gotten to see him change so many lives that are sitting right here, right now, I want to see him continue to do it. Because there's so many more people out there. And there's a bunch of them sitting right here. Did you know that there are people sitting here right now next to you, in front of you, behind you, that are suffering, are going through something awful right now? Did you know that? I could name probably, if I really got to look over the crowd and kind of, I could probably name 10 families right now that are sitting right here right now, going through just really, really hard stuff. I'm not talking about like light stuff like, you know, we spilled the milk in the kitchen yesterday, okay? I'm not talking about that kind of stuff, okay? I'm talking about life-altering, like crazy stuff. We need each other. We need each other. Don't make it about you. It's not about you. It's about him. We need to be here for one another. We need to love on one another. And he's already equipped us to do that. We learned that much just in the love that we got from Jesus. We loved that, learned that and got that just in the love that we got from God the Father, that he would send his only Son to die for us, that even while we were still sinners, that we could be forgiven if we would trust in him. I would venture to say that if I was able to get one-on-one with everybody in the room today and ask them this question, do you have a really close friend that you can confide in everything and they're always there for you and you feel like, you know, or do you feel like you go through life alone a lot? I would venture to say that we would be shocked at how many people would say, I feel alone a lot. We shouldn't have to feel like that. We got ministry out the wazoo sitting right here. Just ministering to one another. But it means being selfless. It means taking time. It means asking questions like, hey, how are you really doing? Hey, you want to come and eat dinner with us? You want to come spend some time with my family? You want to come to my house, even though it's messy and there's laundry everywhere. I did premarital counseling this weekend with laundry all over my living room. They didn't care, and I didn't care either, to be honest with you. Now, Aaron, that's a whole other thing. I texted her and let her know. She was like, oh, my. She's out of town. God wants to build his church. And he's been equipping this particular church and wants to continue to do so. But let me encourage you folks, let's just don't get equipped and prepared for nothing at all. Good soldiers get equipped and prepared to go to war. And we've got a war. And God wants to use us in it. Don't be afraid of it. Embrace it. Trust in the Lord. I know God wants to continue to equip us. And to do so, He wants us to have the right tools. And I want to encourage you today to seek those tools out. Do you know what they are? His Word, prayer, community with other believers that love you and love Jesus and will be honest with you because they love you and they love Jesus. It's very simple. The tools are just waiting for us to take them. We'll help you with those things, any of those things. We're glad to help you with those things. That's part of what God has called us to do. Let us help you with those things. Why have we been prepared? Why have we been equipped? For His glory. For His glory. We've been given those tools, and it's time for us to build together. I'm not talking about buildings, by the way. I'm talking about the body. May God strengthen this body to use it for His glory, that others might come to know Him. I want to do two things to close us today. Actually, one thing, but I want to ask two people something a little different here. Probably make some people twitch in their seat a little bit, which is always good. I like that. I'm looking for two people that would volunteer to pray to close this part of our service today. And I want to give you some specific things to pray about, and I'll give them to you right now. Are there two people that would be willing to pray for us this morning? Diane and Tyler, okay? I'm going to give you all a couple specific things. Diane, we're going to let you open us. I'm going to ask if you wouldn't mind to pray that we would be equipped to do the work that God calls us to do. That we would be equipped to do the work that God calls us to do. And Tyler, when she's done, if you would you pray that we wouldn't back down from the calling that He has given us? Whatever those callings are, but those callings that He's given us, that we wouldn't back down from them. And not only that, but that we would equip others as a church. Pray for us.